And you're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Cam Walker on the line. Cam, of course, is from Friends of the Earth. G'day, Cam. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to you about the announcement made by the Victorian government that it's called giving the green light to conventional onshore gas exploration, but bans fracking. Is there any good news in this?
The lifting of the moratorium is not good news. It's a bad news story. As we know, Victoria does have the first permanent ban on fracking in the country, which is fantastic, and that's now in the state constitution. But the other side of the deal that came with that announcement was that the moratorium on what they call onshore conventional gas drilling, which has been in place since 2014, has now lifted.
And what does it mean? To tell our listeners what that actually means.
So I think the first thing to remember is the moratorium and the ban on fracking only happened because of community campaigning. And it's always good to remember that, you know, if you struggle, you can win. And if you don't struggle, you're always going to lose. So it's good to acknowledge that this was a great community win. But the lifting of the moratorium now opens up the state pretty much, if you can imagine, the state south of the divide, right across through Western Victoria, and a big chunk of Gippsland from the Latrobe Valley down to the 90 Mile Beach is now open for onshore gas exploration. There's a series of stages a company has to go through. They do the initial exploration, and then if there's enough resource there and it's viable, then they commercialise it. But what it does mean is that pretty much from any time now, companies can opt in and start to drill for gas. And the interesting thing in Victoria, there was a thing called the Victorian Gas Program, which was a government program that kind of looked into the state of the industry here. And even the government's own report acknowledged that if we drilled all the conventional gas, it won't actually bring down prices. There isn't enough gas to do it. You know, gas prices are only going in one direction, and that's up, and that's because it's a non-renewable resource. And as we know, non-renewable resources, as they get towards the end, they become more expensive. But it does mean that pockets of Victoria, and it's likely to be localised pockets like around Port Campbell and potentially sections down towards Longford and Sea Spray down on the 90 Mile Beach, will come under exploration over the next year or possibly next couple of years.
So the most beautiful spots, some of the most beautiful spots in Victoria.
Yes, absolutely.
Uncanny, isn't it?
It is interesting. And of course, it's matched with the offshore gas release. And we have an acreage release that happened in 2018 in Victorian waters, which I think is about within 8 kilometres of the coast. And that goes from Port Campbell past, you know, all that beautiful coastline, 12 Apostles, Lockhart Gorge, right across to Portland and beyond that to the South Australian coast. And then we've got the recent Commonwealth acreage release, which was 80,000 square kilometres. It's a massive chunk of marine environment, and that includes in Bass Strait and in Gippsland. And in Bass Strait, it's going to go down as far almost as King Island in Tasmania. So also really beautiful landscapes that are at threat from new offshore oil and gas.
Oh, that's amazing. And now, if you look at the press release that was put out, it's all very carefully managed, and it talks about the Victoria's lead scientist, Amanda Capples, found there were gas reserves in Victoria that could be extracted without harming the environment. That's, I mean, it's talk about a curated piece of language, that.
Oh, it's curated, and that announcement and the methodology behind it, which was the Victorian Gas Program, which released 5 quite substantial reports over probably a 3-year period, have been soundly criticised on a couple of fronts. And the really obvious one was it appears to overstate the number of jobs that will be created if we did drill all that gas. This is what industry does all the time. You know, they say, oh, there'll be thousands of jobs, and then you get a couple of hundred. But the media, of course, then parrots there will be thousands of jobs. So the gas industry, like the fossil fuel industry in general, tends to radically overestimate the number of jobs that will be created. But even that report, which Amanda Capel was responsible for, acknowledges that the gas, if we do drill it all, it won't fuel the shortfall in existing supplies, and it won't bring down prices. So you have to ask, well, why are we going to do this? Because it will industrialise rural landscapes in places like, you know, Timboon and that great dairy country down in the southwest. And it will be a source of significant greenhouse gas emissions at a time when the Victorian government has committed to reduce emissions every 5 years towards a net zero emission target by mid-century. So it's inconsistent with the government's own position. It's not going to bring our prices down, and it's going to mess with farmland. So you really have to ask, well, why are we going to do it?
Now, there's a couple of things before we get into the actual figures that they put out regarding this jobs creation. It's very interesting that Dr. Kapples is cited as the scientist, but she actually steps into the land of politics when she is quoted as saying over 80% of the community in the southwest of Victoria and in Gippsland are supportive of exploration and development. Now, that's stepping into fair and square into opinion.
Yes, it is, and there's also been some serious criticism about the methodology around the surveys they did, and the Australia Institute did a really fantastic bit of work looking at that. They felt that the questions were kind of like, not push polling, but they were kind of leading in that the way the results were clumped together gave a kind of, an overstated feeling of how much people could accept gas being produced in their area. But the figure, and I don't have the figures in front of me, but I remember it was well under 20% of people feel that having new gas operations in their area would improve their community, which means that over 80% of people were opposing it. And yet the way the results of the surveys were brought out kind of implied that most people could, quote, live with it as opposed to embrace it.
Yeah. And then it goes on to talk about Mr. Andrews said natural gas would be extracted under the highest standards and production of the resource could generate more than $310 million annually for regional economies and create 6,400 jobs. Now, we're talking about economies that are always under strain and threat because people are paid less in the country and their jobs, they depend on large resource structures or factories, which then may disappear.
Yeah. So the whole release of this was kind of overblown and there was quite a bit of hype. So the Victorian government, I think, relied on some modelling that was done by a consultancy, which said, oh, there might be up to 6,400 jobs. And that was split between about maybe 4,000 direct jobs and 2,000 indirect jobs. And, you know, it was going to be fantastic for the regions. But then when you actually drill into it and when you go back to the original reports, I think the maximum of positions that were going to be created was to the order of about 250. So not 6,400, but 250. And that was a best case scenario, and that it could be as little as 78 direct jobs created if they
really
couldn't access all the gas. Yes. And that was directly from the Victorian government's own report. So then there was like this huge amount of spin that was put on that there'd be, you know, this amazing number of jobs, and most of them were going to be in Western Victoria. And then, of course, you think, well, this is what the industry does. You know, think of the Adani Carmichael coal mine, and they, you know, were saying there'd be more than, well, up to 10,000 jobs. And then it was, I think it came down to about 1,000 direct jobs. So whenever you hear anything from industry, and unfortunately in this instance, our Premier has kind of parroted the sort of line you expect from industry, when you hear jobs figures and when you hear economic returns, you have to, you know, turn your little filter on and go, okay, well, if I'm going to listen to that, I'm going to go and look at the data myself. And we need to understand that this industry, as a matter of course, tends to overstate the potential jobs that will be created. And they do that because they know that people want jobs and they want economic activity. And so they assume that people will therefore kind of, you know, park their rational brain and say, yay, lots of jobs, let's go with it. But you've always got to drill into the details when someone's going to make a lot of money off something that they're pushing.
And then they spread the love and they talk about business groups welcome certainty as coronavirus hits the economy. Resources Minister Jacqueline Syme says a royalty system was already in place and estimated it could generate $43 million a year for landowners, which could flow back to regional communities. Now, this is a direct attack on many landowners who are already standing up and protesting against the use of their prime land, agricultural land, for gas production.
Yes, and there is already gas production in parts of Western Victoria. And if you go into that area, kind of in around the, you know, kind of Timboon area, there is some gas infrastructure there, and that will allow them to do further offshore gas. And of course, we have gas industry in Gippsland that's offshore, but that of course has to come onshore, and we've got the plant at Longford. Like, we do have infrastructure. We know what it looks like. We know how it industrialises landscape. We know how it transforms that landscape. And it does have, you know, impacts on farmland, direct impacts, but the risks of conventional gas drilling are much less than the risks of what they call unconventional gas drilling, which is coal seam gas and shale gas and tight gas, where they have to use the process of fracking. But there are still risks and there are still impacts. So I think this kind of gloss by the Victorian government that there will be heaps of jobs and landowners will get money, you know, it is a furphy. We know that wind turbines also provide money to landowners without destroying the land and without risking contamination. The Victorian government is doing a great job on promoting renewables. It's disappointing that they're trying to kind of play both sides of the roads on this. If they've committed to net zero emissions, if they're promoting renewable energy as they are, and which is fantastic, they need to just stand on that side of the road, you know, and keep going with that. They've made all their good announcements about batteries. They've got the solar homes program. They're getting lots of panels on roofs. They're doing a really good job on that front. And they're not going to get much bounce out of this gas. There won't be a lot of gas produced. There will be a lot of opposition to it. It is a technology from last century. The price of gas will only go up, and they just need to, you know, decide which side of the road they're going to be on. We all know what happens when, if you stand in the middle of the road, you get run over. It makes sense for them to step fully into the realm of renewables and batteries. And it's unfortunate that they're continuing to kind of peddle this, you know, gas will bring lower prices and gas will bring jobs narrative.
Well, actually, before we finished, part of that narrative is actually the backdrop of the federal LNP government. Having seen the government representative talk about their policy before the election, they should never have won. It was all about, he actually sat there and said, it's all about fracking and gas exploration, and how they were going to take the power from the state governments and steamroll them, right? So it seems to me that if you're a political operator, as all state governments must be, that there must be a kind of poker game going on here as well. Is that your impression?
Yes, because the Commonwealth had tried to link the GST payments to the lifting of the moratorium, and the Victorian government, to its credit, did stare down that particular game a couple of years ago. But the federal government is absolutely obsessed with this concept of the gas-led recovery, and they've put that $600 million of our funds into the gas plant up in the Hunter, even though it will lose money every year and could lose up to $1 billion of money over its lifetime. They've released this massive area of offshore acreages, 21 blocks, you know, in northwest WA and Victoria and Tasmania. They're obsessed with this concept of the gas-led recovery. They're talking about gas as a transition, which was an argument that made sense in the 1990s. It doesn't make sense now because the cost of renewables and the cost of storage has gone down so much that oil and gas can't compete anymore. And we are in the process of doing a transition into renewables, and yet the federal government is just obsessed with gas. It's obsessed with fossil fuels. It's stuck in the past. There are too many climate denier ideologues that are running that particular party, and so you can't get sensible policy energy and climate out of the current federal coalition, and that is just kind of, you know, the reality that we're dealing with.
So really the message is hold the line and make it possible for our future to be sustainable.
Yes, absolutely. Stay engaged. We won the moratorium. We won the ban on fracking because people, you know, got on their feet and got organised. 75 communities across regional Victoria declared themselves coal or gas field free. We won through people power. We can win again through people power. The offshore acreages bids won't be complete on that until March next year. We've got plenty of time to influence that. And in Victoria, we've launched a thing called Drill Watch, which is easy to find if you do a web search, which will kind of tell you how to resist the onshore gas proposals that are going to be coming in Victoria. You know, if you don't fight, you lose. You've got to stay organised and you've got to stay hopeful and you've got to stay smart in how you organise your campaigns. And we'll still be there. Lots of people will be there. We can still win on both of these fronts, the onshore and the offshore.
Thanks, Cam.
Thanks a lot.